98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up, 2 o'clock on this Friday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, not inside the Auction Community Studios. We'll tell you where we are in just a moment. My name is Dave Burns alongside the one, the only John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo.
Burnsy, what is going on?
Oh, just a sun-splashed Valentine's Day, a birthday for the state of Arizona. We came into statehood on Valentine's Day.
Did we really?
1912, February 14th. 1912. So wow. The state of Arizona is 100. And
I learned something. Huh? So every Valentine's Day, it's the state's birthday.
That's why I'm rocking the old State 48, state 48 shirt right now.
Yes.
Happy birthday. You're rocking your GCU
Lopes. I got my GCU Lopes shirt.
Because today we are here on the campus of Grand Canyon University for their baseball opener tonight against defending Big 12 champ Oklahoma State here at Brazel Field. It is a beautiful day to take in some college baseball down here at GCU.
It is. And they're taking on, the number 22 ranked team in the country, Oklahoma State. Andy Stankiewicz, former D-back, former Yankee. He's got this team rolling. He's got a very, very good squad. He just had a great recruiting class, 30th nationally in recruiting. They got all their key starting pitchers back and some of their big bats as well. So they're hoping for a really big season. And this field is just, it's amazing. It is a great stadium. It's a great field.
It rivals some of the top Cactus League stadiums in our valley.
There's no question.
It truly rivals some of the very best Cactus League stadiums we have. It is a gorgeous place.
They've got three against Oklahoma State today, tomorrow, and then Sunday. So today at 6 p.m., tomorrow at 2 p.m., and then Sunday at 1 p.m., three against Oklahoma State. So come on out, check out a game. It's a beautiful stadium. You'll love it. It's great baseball. The quality of play is amazing. So if you're looking for some great baseball, if you've got a kid that plays baseball, or daughter that plays softball, bring them out here. They'll enjoy the atmosphere. They'll enjoy watching them play.
Now, we'd love for you to come down and see us. It is a closed campus, so please, if you want to come, come for the games this weekend, tonight, tomorrow, or Sunday. But we'll be here today until 6 o'clock, and if you are coming to the game tonight, swing by and see us. We're just right next to the press box on the first base side, and we'll be here until 6 o'clock this evening. In the meantime, let's weigh in on what we think is our top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in, brought to you by 3010 Weight Loss for Life.
First off the top, once again, a tip of the cap and a deep debt of gratitude to Doug and Wolf and Aaron Maloney and Bear in the mornings for another successful Newsmakers Week.
Good job.
A lot of great content, a lot of great guests making national headlines with some of what Michael Bidwell had to say, some of what Michael Crow had to say, and of course for us, our top story today is Steve Keim, who was a guest this morning on the Doug and Wolf show as part of their Newsmakers Week, and obviously a lot to talk to the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals about, and a lot of it had to do with the running back position and David Johnson's future with the organization. Steve Keim, on record, very little ambiguity in what he had to say. There are lots of options on the table. Cutting David Johnson is not one of them, according to the GM.
Cutting him is not an option. Not only the cap hit, but you're still paying the cash as well. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't be responsible for me or the organization to do that.
It goes into something that we've been saying, Gambo, and something that a lot of people have pointed out. You would actually count more money against your cap by cutting him
than keeping him
than you would by keeping him.
We said it all along. He's not getting cut. They'll trade him or they'll keep him. But he's not going to get cut. It's stupid. It's a waste. It's a waste. It's like somebody wants to give you something for free and you're like, no, I don't want to take it. He's basically free. You got to pay him either way. Unless he was a complete jerk and a distraction and you feel like he could be a negative impact on your football team, then you might say, okay, you know what, addition by subtraction. But that is not David Johnson. He is not going to be, I don't expect him to be, a problem. If his role changes, his role changes. And if he's a third down back, he's a third down back. But his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield is something that they can use. And he may not get 20 carries a game anymore. Those days may be gone for him here. But he would have a role in this offense.
Keeping him would charge you $14 million against the cap. Cutting him would charge you $16.2 million.
Yeah, well, I mean,
it's cheaper to keep him.
Cheap.
Easy. Easy. Don't you go there. I know where you're going. Don't go there. It's cheaper to keep
it's
him.
It's cheaper to keep him.
It's cheaper to keep.
Cheaper to keep
him.
Him.
Cheaper to keep him. Don't go there.
Cheaper to keep
you
him.
Want to.
Yes.
I know it's hard to resist that low-hanging
yes.
fruit. It's cheaper to keep him. Besides, Steve Keim said, I still have faith in David Johnson.
I still have a lot of faith in David. You know, he's got tremendous skills. He's a great person. He works extremely hard. I think it was one of those things that when you look at the big picture and Chase got hurt, David got hurt, we made the trade, and then Kenyon Drake came in and he got the hot hand. And in any sport, I think that, you know, you see guys have success. And the way coaches are wired, the way you're wired to want to win and do well offensively, you go with a hot hand, and that's what happened last year.
And Kenyon Drake was the hot hand in that regard. He was asked today, he being Steve Keim, if he's gotten calls for David Johnson. Here's what he said.
Have you received phone calls already on David Johnson?
Come on, Bruce has had to bug you.
I'm not going to get into private conversations, but, you know, again, we have a lot of faith in David and think he can continue to play well and go back to what he did in 2016. The guy has got great skill. Mm. And a lot of times when people fail, you know, I think you look back and you say, well, you know what? He didn't work hard enough. He wasn't a good guy. He wasn't committed to it. None of that applies to David.
See, now, it's interesting. I was listening to Bickley and Murata when I was driving in, and they made a point to bring up, and I hadn't really thought of it this way, that's the second time this week we've heard about what a great guy David Johnson is. Michael Bidwell was also very, hey, he's a great guy.
Yes.
He's our Walter Payton Man of the Year. He's a great guy. And I wonder if that's being said, and this is just me thinking out loud here, if that's being said by the organization to dispel the idea that, hey, he got paid and he stopped working. Because great guys, quote-unquote, don't do that, right? Because that's been one of the operating theories on what went wrong with David Johnson. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying it's one of the theories. That he got paid, he got his contract, and he just stopped working as hard or running as hard. And I wonder if the he's a good guy statement by both Michael and Steve is designed to sort of offset this idea, hey, he got paid and he just stopped working as hard. Which then, if you start to think, okay, well then what is the problem? The problem just might be in this offense, and I've heard this said many times, that he just, the concept of Kyler Murray putting the ball in his gut and then making a decision to either leave it there or pull it out and keep it himself is a concept that David Johnson is just really struggling with, whereas other running backs pick that up. And that's the root of David Johnson's problem.
So, football IQ.
Football IQ in this system.
In that system.
Football IQ in an RPO zone read sort of a, I'm going to act like I'm handing it to you.
But
and I might hand it to you, but I might not.
I might
take it. There's a growing belief that it's just that concept that is leading to a lot of David Johnson. And if that's the case, then he's got very little of a home here with Arizona because that's not going anywhere.
There will be some interest in David Johnson. It just depends on, what teams are willing to play. He's got value as a pass catcher. I don't expect that the Arizona Cardinals are going to give him away for free or for little money. Like, hey, you pay 90% of the salary and we'll take him. For them, it's like, okay, it's not worth it. Like, you know, if some team's going to say, okay, you pay 80% of the salary and we'll pay 20, I think the Cardinals say, you know what, that's not worth it to us. Now, if a team wants to pay half and give them a fifth or sixth round pick, they might be able to justify that and say, okay, it's worth it because we get off of some salary, we add an extra draft pick, and then it's worth it. But if some team's like, yeah, no, I mean, seventh round pick and you pay the vast majority of the money, I don't think they do it because, as you've said all along, like, the money's already paid for. It's like you've already got the purchase of David Johnson.
You've mentioned Bruce Arians in Tampa Bay many, many times. Bruce Arians went on record yesterday as saying their number one priority in free agency and with their cap space is to address the defense. I screenshotted a tweet today from the beat writer who covers the Bucks for the Athletic website. I think we've had him on the show before. His name is Greg Allman. And he tweeted out, the only way Arizona gets anything for Johnson in a trade on this contract is if they convert a significant chunk of that salary to a bonus. eat that before the deal, and then even then, it would just be a late-round pick swap and barely anything coming back in their direction. That's the only
way. I've checked on that whole converting into a bonus thing, and it's the same thing. Like what I've been told, it's it's the same thing. It's just the same amount of money.
It's just of course. You pay half or you eat.
Like either way, it's the same amount of money.
It's just the mechanism that you'd have to use to eat the money. So it's just a question of how much of the money would the Cardinals be willing to eat in order to facilitate.
So converting it to a signing bonus and giving them $6 million up front, or saying I'll pay $6 million and you pay the rest.
Yeah, of course,
it's the same thing.
It's the same thing. I'm just saying that's he seemed somewhat skeptical that there'd be enough in return to make that happen. Now, the other side of this equation, of course, is Kenyon Drake. And Steve addressed that today on the Doug and Wolf show as well. We've told him we want him back.
I don't want to get into details, but we have had talks with Kenyon, and I made it clear that we would like to have him back.
Okay, there's one on the topic. And then when asked who the Cardinals starting running back is for 2020, this is how Steve Keim responded.
To me, that's a simple answer, which is the guy who is under contract and the guy who earns it.
Who's the guy under contract and who's the guy who's going to earn it? Because right now, the way I see it, the only running back that I know for sure that's going to be on this roster next year is Chase Edmonds. He's the only one that I would bet a car payment on being on this roster next year.
I could see a scenario in which Drake and David Johnson are both back. I could see a scenario in which neither one of them are back.
Yep.
And I could see a scenario in which Drake is back and David Johnson's not, or David Johnson's here and Drake's not. So I don't know which way it's going to go. They'll look to trade David Johnson, okay, but they're not going to give him away for free. And they're not going to pay like 90% of that salary and take no pick back. Somebody will have to give them a little something in order to get him.
Spitball it for me. What percentage do you think it would take? What percentage would they be willing to eat at that?
What's the number exactly?
I think it's 10 million guaranteed.
There was 12.
12 million guaranteed.
Cardinals got to pay. I think a team will pay $3.5 to $4 million for David Johnson. You got to pay the rest.
Okay. So
just like any other running back,
Cardinals would have to eat over half.
What do we say about a running back that you could get in free agency? $3.5 million.
Yeah.
You know, for an average running back, you get $3.5 million. Nobody's looking at David Johnson as a $7 million running back. I'll pay $3.5 million.
Right.
And hope that I can catch lightning in a bottle, but I'm not paying more than that. I think that's what teams will look at.
He came on the air to help celebrate Devin Booker's first All-Star appearance. In the process, did John Calipari just give you something to worry about if you're a Suns fan?
Ruh-roh.
You decide next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Live from Braswell Field here on the campus of Grand Canyon University, it's the Burns and Gambo Show on this Sun splash February 14th. Just a perfect day for some college baseball.
It really is.
Couldn't have drawn it up any better. You really couldn't have.
Come on out to the stadium. Come on to baseball.
Yep, three-game series against the Oklahoma State Cowboys starting tonight. And it's always a pleasure when GCU invites us out. This weekend, and we've said it yesterday quite a bit, that I had no reason, you had no reason, to want to watch the All-Star game on Sunday, and now I plan to watch every single minute of it. Pre-game introductions, the whole game, all of it. I believe this is a moment for Suns fans to be proud of. And we haven't had a lot of these lately. We haven't had very many at all of these moments lately. Things to be proud of. But Devin Booker making the All-Star game it's a source of pride, I think, if you've struggled and suffered with this team for the last few years. To celebrate that, Bickley and Murata had his former coach, John Calipari, on today. And, you know, hey, let's talk about how great Devin Booker is and how awesome Devin Booker is. Awesome. And then I get this soundbite, Gambo, and it's slugged, enjoy Booker now.
What?
And I almost hesitate.
We are enjoying him now.
We are enjoying him now. What do you mean enjoy him now? What are you saying, coach? Well, let's hit play and let's find out.
My first thought was,
hold on, that's the wrong one. Let me play the right one here from John Calipari. Here it is.
I tried to tell the people in Golden State 2 years ago, you have no idea the ride you're on. Enjoy it. I would tell you, being able to watch him right now, enjoy it.
Yeah.
Get to those games, enjoy it, watch him. He, like all these other players, want to win. And right now, you're putting together a team that can win. It's not who I play with. It's can we win? With Anthony right. Davis, I was talking to a guy from, he loved New Orleans. He loved living in New Orleans. He loved the fans of New Orleans. He just didn't think they could win a championship. And that's why, and it had nothing to do with anything else. With Devin, enjoy it. He wants to win. And if I'm Phoenix, they're going to keep building to win. I mean, however it plays out, I think it'll play out the way it's supposed to.
Oh, boy.
I think we're going to look at this a little bit differently.
Okay.
I think what he was saying is, like, this whole D'Angelo Russell and Carl Anthony Towns thing, that stuff doesn't matter. And that's what I've said. Booker's not upset that they're together. Like, we joked around about the three best friends things, but Booker wants to win.
Yes.
And so if those guys are together and they're winning 35 games a year and Booker could be on a team that goes to the playoffs winning 45 to 55, he's going to be fine. He's going to be happy. Look, we all know this. It's not playing with your friends. It's winning. And at some point, if you don't win, then players are going to get frustrated, and then you don't know how it plays out. You don't look. LeBron was in Cleveland. He won. But when he realized that they couldn't win anymore, he left.
Sure.
So I don't know that All right, give me your thoughts on that.
Well, my thoughts on that is using the Anthony Davis comp makes me nervous. Because he basically said, look, Anthony Davis loved it in New Orleans. He loved the people. He loved the city. He loved everything about it. But they didn't win. He wanted to leave it. And so that the whole soundbite had a cautionary tone of enjoy him while you can. Enjoy him while you've got him. Enjoy him before he changes his mind. I mean, I understand what you're saying about the it doesn't matter about being with his friends. It winning is the only thing that matters. I agree with you 100% about that. But what I got from that 53-second soundbite was sort of a cautionary tale of, hey, understand that you can have the coolest city and the coolest fans and the coolest people in the world. If you're not winning some basketball games, he's going to want out. And just the whole you better enjoy him now sort of tone struck me as almost like a cautionary warning. You know, hey, I'm just warning you.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, we're all warned. Like, we've already been forewarned. You better win. That's why they hired Monty, and that's why they brought in some grown-ups this year. But there was, and I want to say this because we didn't have this in the soundbite. He said this.
Well, I might have it, so I don't know what you're
going to say. He will trust the process? Do you have that cut?
Yes, I do. He will buy in if he trusts you.
He'll trust the process if, you know, he trusts the people involved. And I think at this job, the job Monty's doing with that team and with him personally, off the charts.
Okay, that makes me feel better.
Oh,
that offsets a little bit of the concern from the last one.
I think at this job, the job Monty is doing, and with him personally, is off the charts. So the hiring of Monty bought the time that you need to get the right people in place for him to believe. Listen, is it possible that if they would have fired Igor and hired another first-time coach who, you know, needed to get his feet wet and was learning on the job, that, like, we could be at a point right now where Booker's like, look, man, I want out of here? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. That was a crucial, critical hire of Monty Williams at the exact time it needed to be done. If they would have put that off for another year or two to hire a veteran coach, I think we could be there right now with Book.
It's possible.
I think so.
Sure, it's possible.
But I don't think we are, because I think what Calipari said, trust the process, hire the right people, and then you trust the process. They're going to win 10 to 15 more games than they did last year. And you'll look at that and you'll say, that's a step in the right direction.
It is. They better win 10 to 15 more games after that next year.
That becomes hard.
I know it does, but that's the ticking clock.
Yes.
That's the tick going on. If they don't, we all thought the Sacramento Kings were poised to make a leap this year from last year. They didn't. They haven't. Hasn't worked out that way. The Suns better not follow that path. They better take another step. This time, okay, I think it's fair to say Monty Williams, 2 years. Monty Williams, James Jones, 2 years, get this team in a playoff position. That's this year and that's next year. So by this time a year from now, you bet if they're not a playoff team, they better be the next man up for the season after that. Look, you're right. John Calipari didn't say anything that we already didn't know.
Right.
It's just a little shock to your system to hear him say it. It's a little, at least it was for me, it's a little shock to your system when hey, Anthony Davis, boy, he loved it there. Didn't matter. He wanted to win. And it's almost like he's drawing a parallel as if to say, if the Suns organization isn't cautious about this and isn't doing what needs to be done, that's going to be Devin Booker. And that's going to require some aggression on the Suns' part. That's going to require them being a little aggressive in pursuing a winning basketball team to make sure Devin Booker is happy about this. I don't think
you'll have a new starting power forward next year.
Okay.
You'll have a new backup center. You'll have a new backup point guard. And they'll bring in another, and they'll bring in a scorer off the bench.
That's what it's going to require.
You'll have a new. You can write this down right now. They'll have a new power forward. They'll have a new backup center, and they'll have a different point guard that could take some of the pressure off of Rubio at some point. What they do from that point, I would imagine just a drop. But that's.
I hope it's enough.
That's going to happen.
I hope. Oh, I'm sure it is. I hope it's enough. You can't guarantee me that it is.
I will take one thing he said that, basically, you know, I'd be most happy about is. Man, it's not about playing with your friends. It's about winning.
Yeah.
It's not about playing with your friends. So this whole, oh, let me team up with my friends and, you know, is he going to go play with Karl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell now? No. No, he's not going to go play with them.
I want to play one more from Calipari. This is his reaction to Book getting in the All-Star game.
Why isn't he getting the nod first time?
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy what he was doing. And, you know, they got to fix this East-West, you know, he is an all-star. And what's going to happen next year when Curry and, you know, guys come back all of a sudden, you know, so I'm thinking, what would he have to do to get in the game?
I'm worried about that next year, too. We talked about that yesterday.
What's it with Curry and
with
Clay?
With Curry and Clay,
back?
Yeah. Sure. I know they're going to be a year older, but, man, I, the way the process worked this year, it's obvious that there is a lifetime achievement award element to the selection of the All-Stars, right? See Russell Westbrook, see Chris Paul.
Yeah.
There is a
it's hard to break through sometimes.
There's a lifetime achievement award element to all this.
But like you said the other day, and I think I agree with you on it, it's once you get in that first time, makes it a lot easier to get in the next time, doesn't it?
I hope.
Especially
yeah,
if he plays well in the game.
Seal's been broken.
Yeah.
Seal's been broken. It's a group that includes Madison Bumgarner, Robbie Ray. But some are looking at a pitcher with 15 whole starts under his major league belt as the potential backbone of the Diamondbacks rotation. It's coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll presented by Sanderson Ford.
All right, let's go back to the Oxygen Community Studios. Mitch is standing by. He's got our Twitter poll question of the day. Good afternoon, Mitch.
How are you gents doing?
Good, good. Thanks. What's our question today? I haven't seen it yet.
Well, you guys kind of teased it before we went into break. It's about the D-backs. Who do you think will be their best starting pitcher this season? Your choices: Madison Bumgarner, Robbie Ray, Zach Gallen, or other?
Say the question again.
Who do you think will be their best starting pitcher this season for the D-backs?
Madison Bumgarner.
It's a toughie, right?
I have a little voice inside my head says it's going to be Zach Gallen, but I'm going to play the odds and go with Madison Bumgarner.
Well, the majority agrees with you both. 53% on Bumgarner, almost 29% on Gallen, and about 14% for Ray. A lot of people saying other, it's going to be Luke Weaver, but that's about 5%.
I worry about Luke Weaver a little bit.
Just the injuries?
He didn't have surgery on an injury that oftentimes requires it. And I know there have been plenty of examples of guys, I'd have to look them up to remind myself who, but I know there have been plenty of examples of guys who didn't have that Tommy John surgery and were able to continue doing what they do. But I don't know. It's going to be one of those hold your breath kind of things. Not every time he throws a pitch, but certainly that's just going to be something to watch. Can he stay healthy? Because he was really good in those 11 starts he made last year, but he only made 11 starts. Heck, Mike Leake made 10 for the Diamondbacks after they got him mid-season, right? He pitched almost as many games as Luke Weaver did. So certainly something to keep an eye on. It's the Zach Gallen comments are interesting. A story today on the Athletic website suggesting that he might be the best pitcher they have on their staff this year when it's all said and
done. You know, he could be. Like, there's that. Like, the thing with Zach Gallen, if I told you Zach Gallen's going to win 17 games this year, you probably wouldn't bat an eye. You'd be like, well, he's capable of it, right? What we saw last year was brilliant. Can he burst on to, can he do what Ian Kennedy did back in, what was that, 2011 or 12, and, you know, be a 20-game winner and, like, you know, establish himself as a staff ace? I mean, we all think the potential is there because of just, like, you don't even realize how good he was last year when he pitched for the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
He was so good, but now you've got to prove it over a full season. You got to prove it over a full season. And if he could do that, I mean, this might be one of the biggest steals ever to go get a number one or number two pitcher like that. Now, I don't know what Chisholm's going to do with the Marlins. And they like him a lot. Obviously, they needed a shortstop. But, man, them giving up on a bona fide, you know, number one or number two pitcher, that's hard to do with all of that control that he has, too. He's under control for, like, 5 years.
Troy Lovello yesterday says Zach Gallen has so many weapons that they're going to count on him.
There are so many weapons. He is loaded with potential. He comes over to a new organization the back half of the season. We drop some new concepts on him, and he really enjoyed getting some of that information. So I think he's advancing at a rapid pace. There's some things that we want to see him work on, which I know we outlined to him, and he was receptive to it. We had a great conversation today about his direction and where he's going, and we're going to count on him in a big way this year.
I'll tell you, Gambo, this conversation doesn't surprise me at all. We had a brief conversation, you and I, about Zach Gallen 2 weeks ago, and you had asked me if I would be shocked if Zach Gallen finished with more wins and a better ERA than Madison Bumgarner. I said, no, I wouldn't be shocked at all. And you were shocked that I said that.
Well, because
you were shocked that, and I'm like, I wouldn't predict it. I'm not saying bet on it or count on it. But if you're asking me, would I be surprised that at the end of the year, Zach Gallen has better measurable numbers than Madison? I wouldn't be surprised one bit if he had more wins and a lower ERA. Said it then, I'll say it now.
People think that Bumgarner's on the way down and Gallen's on the way up. It's just the trajectory of both guys. You know, that story in Athletic, which is a very good story, is talked about Gallen at, you know, the University of North Carolina, talked about how the Diamondbacks knew him, liked him as a solid prospect, and, you know, and it takes it right back to the trade, you know, when they were able to go get him, and then what, you know, what he did and just how good he was. I mean, I'm trying to see if there's a comparison where a guy just burst onto the scene like that, man, just almost like came out of nowhere. And
how about the one in the story that they suggested in the story? Jack Flaherty. From the St. Louis Cardinals a year ago. For industry insiders, they write, Zach Gallen is a popular pick to click. The Diamondbacks may have signed Bumgarner over the offseason. Luke Weaver may be healthy. Robbie Ray may have dropped 20 pounds. But it's Gallen who is the odds-on favorite to be the D-backs' best starting pitcher in 2020. Here's the quote. Reliever Archie Bradley sees comparisons to Cardinals phenom Jack Flaherty, the former teammate of Gallen's who broke out last year with a 2.7 ERA and a fourth-place Cy Young finish. Bradley, quote, you're going to talk about Gallen like people talked about Flaherty last year, close quote.
Yeah, it's a good one. I'm also thinking Walker Buehler. Like, for a while, right, it was Kershaw and Greinke. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 2 years ago, nobody knew who Walker Buehler was. He pitched 8 games in 2017. And all of a sudden, 2018, he won 8 games. And then last year, he won 14 games. And now he's like one of the aces of that staff. He is the ace of the staff.
Now if I'm the Dodgers and I have a game I need to win,
he's their guy.
Oh, absolutely. He's over Clayton Kershaw.
Right.
Every day that ends in Y and twice on Sunday.
Right, but just to think like that, okay, it was Kershaw and Greinke. You had Hyun-Jin Ryu, and you've had other pitchers with the Dodgers. All these years they've been in the playoffs. This kid kind of came out of nowhere, right? He's 24 years old. 24, 25 years old. He won 14 games last year. The year before, he had a Zach Gallen-type year. 8 wins, 2.62 ERA. And then last year, he just killed it. You know, 14-4, 3.26 ERA, pitched 182 innings, struck out 215 batters. So, like, there are guys like that. You know, Severino with the Yankees. You don't really know about him, and all of a sudden you do. Okay, here I am.
Walker Buehler, by the way, he was drafted twice. He was drafted in the 14th round in 2012, but then in 2015, he was a first-round pick and out of Vanderbilt. So he came in with a high pedigree. You always do when you come out of Vanderbilt when you're a first-round pick. But absolutely, his ability to take that leap over more established veterans. Now, Mad Bum, you know, he's at Diamondbacks camp, obviously, and he feels like he's way ahead of where he was compared to previous camps.
I know everything's not going to be there like I want it to be, but you still, you know, that's just something you got to, you know, is going to happen and try to work through it and get everything dialed in. But actually, it obviously wasn't where I would want it, you know, come the season or especially midseason. But today, the first one and today both felt ahead of schedule where I usually would be.
Only since you mentioned Zach Greinke,
yeah.
Did you see the Dusty Baker quote? on
Zach
Greinke. Yeah,
that he's not ready yet.
Dusty Baker said Zach Greinke will report to camp on February 22nd. He's been in contact with the Astros training staff and coaches. He is healthy. Any reason Greinke is reporting late? Dusty Baker, quote, because he's Zach Greinke, close quote. Yes, Dusty, because he's...
Hey, let me give you another one. Aaron Nola. He's become the ace of that staff, not Jake Arrieta.
Sure.
I mean, Nola was a guy. Nola, 2 years ago, won 17 games. The guy burst, came out of nowhere. First year, 6-2. Yeah. Second year, 6-9. 2 years ago, 17-6. 12 wins last year. He's got 30 wins in the last 2 years. Like, so Gallen can be that guy. He's kind of like he's around, and then boom. There he is. He's the ace of your staff. It could happen that quickly.
I wouldn't predict it. I wouldn't count on it, but I also wouldn't rule it out. I don't think it's nuts for thinking that by the end of the year that Zach Gallen has become the top guy. Yeah, wouldn't surprise me at all. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo Show, spring training baseball might still be a few weeks away, but here at GCU, the regular season begins this evening. Their head coach, Andy Stankiewicz, he joins us next, live from Brazel Field here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Live from Brazel Field on the campus of Grand Canyon University here on the Burns and Gambo Show, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. And it's always a pleasure to welcome our next guest on the air, especially when he comes bearing gifts, GCU baseball jerseys. You're number 7.
I love this.
I'm number 98, so we're 98-7. I think you have a better chance of making the team just based off the number.
Not a whole number,
Coach, Andy Stankiewicz, not a whole lot of number 98s make the team, so I'm a little worried.
In spring training, there's a lot of 98s that sometimes...
One breaks through.
Oh, yeah. My first spring training, I was 63. And
Were you really?
Yeah. So it can happen.
It can happen, even to a 98.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, good. I'll hold out some hope then.
Absolutely.
No, we've got a great history. My daughter played softball with your daughter, so I've known your family for a long time. And just... so exciting to see what you guys are doing. And, you know, right off the bat, man, number 22, Oklahoma State, 3 games. We encourage everybody to get down here to Brazel Stadium and just check out the games today, tomorrow, and Sunday against Oklahoma State. So starting off with a good team.
Yeah, they're, well, like you said, top 25. And Coach Holliday, we coached together at ASU for a season there and got to know him well and his family. It's a great baseball family. His dad was legendary coach Tom Holliday at Oklahoma State as well, and Josh played at Oklahoma State, and then Matt is signed out of high school and had a great pro career. And you know, Stillwater, I think they would probably tell you that's home. And then Matt Holliday is now on his staff. Mm-hmm. You know, his younger brother's on his staff. And
that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a really cool thing.
Gambo had mentioned earlier, and I would, having a son who played high school ball and went on to play D3 baseball, I would imagine the recruiting advantages for you, and I'm sure we've talked about this with you in the past. I think he mentioned you had the 30th best class in the country. I would imagine the recruiting advantages for you being here in this hotbed of high school baseball, you got to have kids just beating down your door to come play here for you.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's great. We're the stadium, the university, and all of it is helped tremendously. You know, when we first got here, it was honestly a bit of a struggle. It was a big hurdle to get over the top of, as far as, you know, we were Division II, and then you're not eligible to go to Division I. You're not eligible to get to the postseason. And so, you know, those hurdles are gone, and the university has kind of given us, presented us with a beautiful stadium and a great budget, and we're able to, and like you said, the Southwest has got baseball players, and it really does, and so we feel like we're moving in the right direction. You know, we were one of two mid-majors that cracked that top 30 in the recruiting class. Our recruiting coordinator, Coach Wallace, did an unbelievable job. He gets after it, and he's on everybody, and then next year's class, I really like. I like our staff coming, our class coming in next year. A lot of freshmen, but I think they got a chance to grow in the program and be pretty good.
Yeah, I encourage all the Little League kids to come out here, check out a game. I know our Little League, the Ahwatukee Little League, is going to put on a day, and they're going to come out here and bring all the kids to come watch the team play. And it's just, it is a beautiful stadium, although that best hits a bunch out in that right field porch, right? Because you look at that right, you look at the stadium, right? You look at it and you say, okay, to left it's 320, to right it's 335, but you got that short fence where, you know, in left field you don't. So a lot easier for a left-handed batter here?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, and also right center field, for whatever reason, I don't really know how, there's a little bit of a little wind stream, jet stream going out to right center, so sometimes some balls will... from righties can get on it pretty good.
And, ooh, 335 and, down the line, but 380 in right center.
Yeah, and it's a high wall, so you got to get it. There's no, There's no cheapies. You gotta get on it pretty good. But we've got new pads in the outfield. Looks really, really, really beautiful. And now our outfielders can be really aggressive. That old wood wall, it was out there for so many years. We had a lot of outfielders hitting that thing pretty hard and getting a little beat up. So it's nice to. We've got those pads up, so that'll help.
You got an 11-game winner going tonight. He was 11-1, but your whole staff, right? You've got the majority of your staff back, and that's the strength of this team. Is your starting pitching?
I would agree with that. Yeah, for sure. Meckles tonight, and 11-1 last year is one of the best pitchers in the country. And then you've got Pearson Ohl, who was Rookie of the Year last year in the WAC as a freshman.
Schneider,
and then Schneider, and then we got a guy named Dawson McCarville. Glendale, local boy, Glendale Junior College, had a great 2 years over there, and he joined us. And Cal Lambert, young man at a local boy here at a Senator O'Connor. He's really come a long way, and he's put himself right in the mix to get some starts as well. And then our relieving corps is solid guys that have pitched a lot of college innings. You know, Barnes, Scalzo, Colin Wynn, Hall, Hoskins. You know, these guys pitched a lot of innings, so they should be mentally in a pretty good spot to compete.
Andy Stankiewicz, head baseball coach here at GCU, our guest on the Burns and Gambo show. We love talking baseball with baseball people, and you're a former big leaguer. This Houston Astros story is I've just from your perspective as a former big leaguer, how much of an advantage would you have had if you knew what pitch was coming?
Oh, well, I wasn't the most offensive hitter, but I sure would have helped, I can tell you that. Now, that's a big advantage. I can't imagine, you know, going to the plate in the big leagues when they throw so hard and they're so good. And if you knew, if you could sit on a slider or you could slid on a changeup and you know that pitch is coming versus trying to figure out is it going to be 97, 98, is it going to be an 83-mile changeup? I mean, the differences in velos from off-speeds to fastballs in the big leagues is so big. And so if you knew a pitch was coming, it is a huge advantage. And I don't care what I've been reading and hearing about those people in Houston saying that didn't make a difference. It makes all the difference in the world.
That's such a crock. I mean, it's embarrassing the way they handled it, the Astros player, Bregman Altuve. It's embarrassing the way they just, even the owner, just brushing it off like there was no advantage. It's just crazy. But when you played, I mean, you still had sign stealing, but it was just a basic way, right? Get the second base and try to figure out what the catcher's throwing down and try to, you know, relay it with the sign to the hitter. I mean, that's baseball for 100 years.
No doubt. And you better be discreet about it. You better, you know, if Roger Clemens is on the mound and he knows, someone's going to get hit hard. And it's going to hurt.
Because it believed, and this is what we talk about a lot, the sport policed itself back then, and it doesn't now, and I think that's why this stuff was able to go on, because it doesn't police itself anymore.
Yeah, it's more difficult for sure. You know, guys are getting fined a lot of money, and nobody wants to lose money, and so it's changed for sure in a lot of ways for the better as well, you know that. And so, but I do think that it was unfortunate that they would think that this is an advantage that would be appropriate in baseball.
We've seen a lot of anger about it. I saw Cody Bellinger today came out and said they took a ring from us. They took an MVP away from Aaron Judge. They took a ring away from us. Would you be angry about this? I mean, we were talking about policing the game a second ago, and I looked it up to see how many times Astros hitters were hit by a pitch last year. I expect that number to be higher this year, quite frankly. How angry would you be if you were a big league player on a team that perceived got robbed by the Houston Astros?
I agree with Cody and the Dodgers. I think that it's just the playing field was swayed to the Astros side when they started doing this. It's not fair. And then you look at some of these young men, these pitchers that got hit hard, and they were up in the big leagues and they got sent back down and maybe to never get back again. I mean, it's livelihoods, it's families, there's a lot at stake here. And if you get beat fair and square, and every ball player would say, "Hey man, I got beat," but if you get beat that way, that's a sour pill, man, to have to deal with.
I want to talk about your schedule before we let you get back to the team. As I'm looking, you got the three against Oklahoma State here, Oregon, you got Fordham, you know, from New York coming in. And you get down there, you know, you've got Arizona State on April 21st, and you've got Arizona on May 12th. What's that mean to you guys?
Well, it means a lot. Well, and it's great to get ASU on the schedule. And they're good. I mean, shoot, I think they're 3 or 4 in the country.
Yes.
They've got three or four first rounders. They got possibly the first pick in the draft, the big first baseman that can really hit. And so, but it's exciting. I think this is what we've wanted. I think it's what ASU wanted as well. I mean, Coach Smith has been great and says, "Hey, Andy, you know, it's just not there yet. We can't do it, and when we can, we will." And so, so it's good to get them for two, and we got U of A for two as well.
And yeah, home and home, right? One there, one here for each.
Yeah, for both, and it's. I think it's great for it was three Division I programs in the state of Arizona, and it's good. It's good rivalry. It builds hopefully a nice fan base in the valley and in Tucson. And so, I think it's a huge win for everybody that we can all play each other. You know, and I get more
especially with all the kids you're recruiting that are local. You know,
and I get more GCU alums now seeing ASUs on the schedule and like, "Coach, you know, we played them. You know, that was," and I go, "I got it. Our guys will."
Yeah, but different, right? Because now, you know, back then it might have been like, "Oh, it's great, we get to play them." Now it's like we want to beat them.
Yeah, well, they had some success because a lot of those guys that were here from GCU, I think they went to ASU and they got cut. And so there was a little bit of more motivation.
Of course.
You know,
right.
when they went back over to Tempe. So, but it's good. It's going to be, and that's the plan. You know, you guys have seen kind of what we've done. It. We've always tried to schedule aggressively and put our guys in an environment. I want our guys to experience college baseball at its best and playing Oklahoma State and playing Stanford and going to Arkansas and playing Baylor. Those are the best, right? Those are your top 30, 40 teams in the country every year. And so we want to tow it up and see where we can get.
Absolutely. Well, with a beautiful facility and a roster like you have, it's not going to be it's going to be fair competition to be sure. Man, we appreciate you stopping by. Thank you for the jerseys. Lunch. We appreciate it.
My family will be here watching
very
the game tonight.
So. Yep. So good luck this season.
Thanks,
best
Mark.
Of luck this season. And
appreciate
we enjoy it. Watching you play. Thanks for
anytime. Come on back out.
6 p.m. tonight. 2 p.m. tomorrow, 1 p.m. Sunday against Oklahoma State if you want to catch out GCU baseball.
All right, that is Andy Stankiewicz, the head coach of GCU, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. The 32nd Annual Arizona Renaissance Festival, it's begun. The raucous revelry that is the Renaissance Festival lasts each weekend until March 29th. We're giving you the chance to win a family four-pack of tickets. Visit the rewards page at arizonasports.com to enter. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo Show, in addition to having a top 10 pick, Cardinals also have some money to spend this offseason. What are Steve Keim's plans with that money and this summer? We'll talk about that next at the Burns and Gambo Show.